sugar does a lot of things. Of course, it impacts your blood sugar, which many people might know, but that impacts your energy. It drives inflammation. And it really does can contribute and increase those aches and pains that we sometimes accept as we start to get a little older, and our friends maybe have some aches and pains, and it becomes more common to hear our friends complaining and talking about it. So we just start to accept it as a part of what happens over time, but it really doesn't need to be something that we accept.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So there's really two things that happen when you come out of your doctor's office and you are given a diagnosis, or you walk in worried about aches and pains and you're told there is nothing you can do. You can blindly follow their suggestions, sit back, wait for your hip replacement, wait for some injection therapy that will take that pain away, or mindlessly take that medication. Or you can step back and ask yourself the most empowering question possible. What is it that I can actually do to move the needle on my own health? My guest today is a holistic nutritionist and passionate advocate for the management of osteoarthritis. She is also someone who has had to deal with this question herself. Bonnie Flemington has years of experience as a holistic nutritionist and so much practical advice as to how we can decrease inflammation, manage chronic disease, and do all of it from within our kitchen while simultaneously managing a busy lifestyle. I've known Bonnie through our mastermind group and have come to really value the work and advice she is putting into this world. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Bonnie Flemington. Bonnie Flemington, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hi, Megan. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you. We were just having such a great little chat before we jumped on and have some really incredible topics to talk about. In particular, we're going to get into inflammation and how this is something starting in childhood that can have these incredible ramifications for us as adults. With all of that said, before we get into all of these topics, can you share with everyone a little bit of a background about you and why you're so uniquely positioned to talk about this?
Yes. So my entry into the field of nutrition became was as a result of my own health concerns. My own joint pain was starting to hold me back from the activities I enjoyed. And I went through the full medical model and visited various doctors, had numerous tests done, and I really didn't get any satisfactory answers. What I was told was really, this is just a part of aging. And I wasn't even what I considered to be old enough to have issues with my joints. So I said, well, what can I do? And I was told nothing, actually. You just need to wait till the pain gets bad enough and come on back and we can replace your joint for you. So that led me on a journey because I didn't want to just go back home and wait for that time. So the journey into nutrition started, and I did a lot of research on my own at the time, and the changes I made started to have improvements for me and my quality of life and all the activities I could now do pain-free, and I wanted to learn more, and it led me back to school to study nutrition. I wanted to understand really what were the mechanisms behind what the changes I was making and how was that helping me.
Can you paint a picture for us before we even step into some of the specifics that you did about what your diet and lifestyle looked like before these changes? Because I think sometimes we create these images of our mind, or it must have been horrible, or, you know, I probably eat differently, or just like give us a before and after type picture.
That's a great question, because I actually thought I was eating perfectly healthy. And some of the things I would eat was I would have oatmeal for breakfast, for instance, and I didn't want to have too much sugar. So instead, I would grab a handful of raisins and put that on instead. I did have dessert every night, but I thought ice cream and cookies every night was after a meal that had some vegetables in it was perfectly fine. I would snack on dried fruit and think this is fruit, so this has got to be healthy. I just didn't realize that all of those things on a daily basis really added up. So these, what I thought were healthy choices and can be in small amounts, were just making their way into my diet regularly.
Well, yeah, and it's not one thing that's ever the problem. It's the little bits of everything that are often the issue. What was the most profound thing that you shift in how you were eating on a daily basis?
I'd say it was the sugar, really. I thought it was going to be things like gluten and dairy, and I did try those things, and they made a difference for me as well. But the biggest impact was definitely the amount of sugar in my diet.
And so what is the connection between sugar and aches and pains and sugar and aging and sugar and inflammation? Like, why is it that we all talk about it and it really is just so bad?
It really does. Sugar does a lot of things. Of course, it impacts your blood sugar, which many people might know, but that impacts your energy. It drives inflammation. And it really does, can contribute and increase those aches and pains that we sometimes accept as we start to get a little older, and our friends maybe have some aches and pains, and it becomes more common to hear our friends complaining and talking about it. So we just start to accept it as a part of what happens over time, but it really doesn't need to be something that we accept.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw in there too, for people, this, like, we talk about the notion of physical pain. Sometimes people's physiology is such that it doesn't actually manifest as pain. It manifests as horrible periods or consistent migraines or chronic digestive issues, or like any time there is something that has an element of chronicity to it, I think it's worth asking yourself, could inflammation have something to do with this? And could my diet have something to do with this? And so, you know, along that vein, when you started to make these shifts in your own approach to health and your own approach to eating, did you notice any other residual changes like brain fog or anything else that just started to lift or change?
Absolutely. That's a great point, because it really does have a ripple effect in other areas of your life. And it did in my case as well. I noticed my irritability was down. I really, my PMS for sure, the PMS related irritability in particular, I just noticed I had a greater sense of calm. And then it helped me in those areas to achieve greater sense of stress management, because the sugar wasn't feeding and the inflammation wasn't feeding all of that.
So how do you inspire this change in other people? Like, do we have to be at a diagnosis point with respect to our health to get change? Like, is that when you find it's most effective for people? How do you do it?
Well, I think oftentimes people don't reach out for help if they're not aware that it's something that can help them in all these areas of their life, that dealing with inflammation is something they want to start early. They don't realize they have it when they just have a little bit of brain fog or some mood swings. So there's that level of education that is important for people to start to realize it's something they can reach out for help with. There's also readiness. They may not be ready to make changes. So oftentimes it is when they get a diagnosis, or when whatever their source of pain, whether it be body aches and pains or the brain fog we were talking about, it's when that gets bad enough, then they start to search for solutions. And working on their food choices is something that people do consider.
And in terms of those elements, like, where do you start with people? Like, is it go big or go home in your philosophy? Is it like, there's certain things we have to just willpower our way through? Like, how does that approach start for you?
No, not necessarily. I really do like to meet people where they're at. And some people are ready for some bigger changes, but many and most, I would say, are ready for small changes. And it can be really effective to just take where people are at in terms of what their current habits and routines are and make some shifts. Say, hey, these are a few areas that can shift, and here are some ideas of what to shift to. So it's not a huge overhaul, because that the whole overhaul can be daunting, hard to stick with. So one thing is really to start with one thing at a time. But on the other hand, I actually like to back up and start with what their real reasons are for making the changes that they're coming to me for. Why is it important? Why do they want the greater health? Why do they want to address these symptoms? What are they going to get when they do? Partly so that is their motivation, and because they can always come back to that. But partly so that we understand when we've been successful too, is that we can go back to the reasons why they want to address this in the first place.
So if you could give people five things, and they don't have to be food, five things they could do right now to decrease the burden of inflammation in their system, what five things would you want people to start with today?
So five things. This is great. Well, one, I would say reduce the sugar in your diet, but it's not just the sugar. It's also flour, like the refined carbohydrates as well. So I would put those two together, and then reduce the fried foods. So that would be number two. Processed meats, reduce that. And then on the increase side, because I don't like it to be all negative, increase your hydration and increase your fruit and vegetable intake.
What's your biggest hack for increasing hydration?
I like to, myself, because I like to just have things I don't have to think about, is I know that my water bottle holds 2 cups of water and that I'm going to fill it 4 times a day. And that way I remember to drink my 8 cups a day. That's the only way I'm going to do it, is if I can kind of measure it out and know that at certain times a day I'm going to refill my water bottle.
Yeah, and I love that. And I set an alarm in my phone so that I make sure that I'm hitting enough water. And I've been really interested recently. Have you read Dana Cohen's work at all out of the States?
I have not.
So she's a physician and she talks a lot about hydration, and she's like, we get really obsessed with water. And I don't know about you, but I have I have a population of people that, like, they'll either drink water or they won't. Mm-hmm. And I don't get that, because mm-hmm. I just don't think we're all primed to not drink water. But regardless, I know you people are out there. And so Dana Cohen wrote a book, I think called Quench, and she talks about foods that are high in water content and help us hold water. So she has some cool hacks there too. She talks, you know, about the cucumber, and she talks about chia, and she talks about foods that are really high in their natural water content as other ways of being able to get that hydration into us. So when you were talking about that hydration piece, it just made me, it made me think of her as an additional resource for people, especially for those individuals who are like, I'm not doing it. I am not drinking water.
I agree. It's hard. And it doesn't have to be pure water, of course. It can be herbal teas and things like that. And as you were mentioning, it can be really high hydration vegetables, celery and cucumber, as you mentioned. These are great ways to get more hydration into the body, for sure. I have an article on that on my website too, different ways to get your hydration.
Totally. And I think you're nicer than I am, because you have solutions for people that are outside of that, like, sheer willpower component. Mm-hmm. There are times I know in my practice where I just say to people, like, listen, I'm so sorry it's hard for you to drink water, but, like, of all the things I could ask you to do, some things you're just gonna have to suck it up. Like, you're just gonna have to drink water. Mm-hmm. And are there certain things that are non-negotiables for you?
That is one of them, but I don't say flip to 8 cups a day right away. I want them to work up to it, mm-hmm. as opposed, because if they're only drinking 2, I don't want them to flip to 8 right away. So we try to increase 1 cup a week. But that definitely is one. More vegetables is another, and it doesn't need to be specific ones. It's ones they enjoy, because again, my clients need to enjoy their foods or they won't stick with it. And when we're all the same, we're not going to stick with things we're not enjoying. So we've got to really work with what people like to eat. Healthy fats is another one. So those nuts and seeds, if, and you know, as long as there's no allergies there, avocado, fatty fish, things that people will enjoy to get the healthy fats into their diet too.
What are the non-negotiables for you in your own life? Like, I get the strategies for patients and we can be more lenient in working with them, but I know I have, and you probably have, things you're like, these are just things that are must for me in my own health. What are those for you?
So for me, it is keeping the sugar and flour out of my diet.
Completely?
Yes. Like the wheat flour, for instance. And I'm not going to say natural sugars. Definitely I have natural sugars in my diet, but I try and keep them from fresh fruit sources, not dried fruit, for instance, and certainly not processed sugars. So that's huge for me. It's a non-negotiable. And I do like to talk on those terms with clients as well and have them create their own non-negotiables and see where things fall on either side of that line.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Yeah, I would say for me, I don't like sugar. So I feel like one of the gifts I've been given is I've never been interested in it. Like, I could take it or leave it when it comes to chocolate. Cheese is an entirely different matter. But I have found on my non-negotiable side, because I haven't had to be as strict with sugar because I have no natural tendency, is definitely gluten as being something that I manage. I will not consume milk. So I'll have some dairy, but I definitely don't do any milk. And on that vegetable side, that's another non-negotiable for me. Like, it's almost like I have this like inner radar that knows whether I've had enough on a given day. And there's certain days where I know I haven't actually consumed enough in food. And that's when, you know, at 7 o'clock at night, I will have a big wad of even powdered greens.
Yeah, those are great options.
Right? Cross that threshold, because I think even when we have the best intentions, sometimes I just don't want another salad.
Agreed.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's
so different ways of preparing vegetables are great things to talk about with clients too, because just having a salad every day isn't going to cut it for everyone. So steaming, roasting, stir frying, just to keep it interesting, and having more than one type of vegetable at each meal, again, because you want to have more of your plate covered with them. So these are some strategies that can be helpful.
And what about the microwave?
I don't do microwave in our house. So I don't use it, but definitely many people do. And if it gets them eating a healthy leftover instead of grabbing something more convenient and unhealthy and processed, then at least they're getting that healthy leftover, say leftover dinner from the night before.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that the microwave is an at least tool, but I wouldn't put it into that health promotion tool. And I think for too many people, like, even as you're talking about different ways of cooking vegetables, I'm thinking all these people are like, I only know how to microwave it, or what is this steaming thing, and how do I start to do it? And I think that's one of the big challenges, is that there's actually all these techniques for cooking and preparing food that we haven't had exposure to. And I found in my own practice, the thing I explain to people more than anything, to the point that I actually finally made a video on it, is how to poach an egg.
Fantastic.
Like, it was this mystery thing that happened when they went out for brunch and people didn't know how to poach an egg, which is really super easy, by the way. But I think it's sometimes the very small things that get in the way of how people are consuming their foods. My other favorite way of doing it is I get spiralized vegetables at least twice a week. Sometimes I buy them pre-spiralized and I use that instead of pasta.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So excellent. Put a meatball on it, still like do all the things. So it's really similar. We just found a different way of increasing that threshold. And guys, there's so many resources on this thing called Google that, if you know you need to increase your vegetables and you know that you've got like an internal radar, there's just an infinite number of resources to start to make that happen. Do you have some favorite resources you send people to, Bonnie?
Well, I do have a lot of recipes on my website that are super simple, because I don't like to spend tons of time in the kitchen. And definitely I send my clients, lots of recipes. Again, always easy ones, because I myself don't like to spend hours in the kitchen. And at the same time, you don't always need to follow a recipe. So I have a lot of resources that I provide that where you don't need to follow a recipe, because you can really put together a meal. And that's a little bit of my MO on many weeknights, is I don't follow a recipe. I just have certain foods that I buy each week, lots of veggies and different proteins, and I mix and match them during the week. And so I have resources to help other people do the same, so that they don't necessarily need to be sitting following step by step, which can be daunting when, if you don't like to cook. And I have many clients that come in and say, I don't cook, by the way.
Right. What do you do then?
So we do talk about a few little things that they can be doing. For instance, I had one person that said, yep, I can hard boil some eggs on the weekend, and then I have those for my snack. And so there were a few little things they could do. And we talked about what they were purchasing when they were out and how they could shift some of that as well.
What are your favorite go-tos for people when they're traveling to really stick to a low inflammatory diet, a cleaner diet, if you will?
So if you're eating out, definitely I tend to stay away from the pastas, pizzas, and sandwiches, and mostly go with entrees or salads, things that you enjoy. There's usually something on every menu that I can find that is really health supportive and anti-inflammatory. And keeping some on-the-go snacks with you, such as the nuts and seeds and things that are easy to travel with, are also a great option.
And you have kids. What do you do for like really great, high protein, nutrient dense foods that can be safe at school? Because I find it devastating every morning when I can't send them with nuts or nut butter. Mm-hmm. And I'm so fortunate that my three kids don't have any allergies, so I'm fully respectful of that. Mm-hmm. But those are such staples in our house. How have you navigated that piece?
Yeah, so for my own kids, definitely our main source of food for lunches was always leftover dinner from the night before. And even though there was no way to heat it up, sometimes it would go in a thermos. Hard-boiled eggs is another one that's a great option. And sometimes there you can do a lot of seed options with pumpkin seeds and sesame seeds that you can send as well.
Yeah, I find that when we have the time, we can start to do those pieces. Mm-hmm. And we have a dehydrator, and we've been dehydrating our own meat snacks.
Fantastic.
And making fruit snacks and adding MCT oil and different things like that. And so that works really well as well. But I feel like this is a huge challenge as a parent, is finding nut friendly options to yes. send people to have access to when they're at work, or you're sending your kids to sending them to school.
Mm-hmm. And hummus is another higher protein option as well that you can send to school for sure with kids. And I love the dehydrator option. We have one here. I don't use it as much as I should, but I love that option. There's a butcher nearby that sells dried beef right here where I'm located in Oakville, and with nothing added, no sugar added onto it. So when we're short on time, that's a good option too.
Yeah. Sometimes like it's about making things as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. In your whole journey, Bonnie, like notwithstanding the food piece, what's the biggest lesson that you have learned when it comes to managing a chronic condition and taking control of your health?
Well, really that it is important, really to step back. The lesson I've learned is to step back and look at how I want to show up in my life and how my inflammation was impacting that. And so it really then becomes, it's something that's not as much work for me to keep consistent with my changes, because I've really identified what's important to me and how I'm showing up and the impact I'm having on my family and those around me. So it just makes it easier to keep up with the changes in my diet, the changes in my mindset that have helped me reduce the inflammation in my body.
A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge, and they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com. Amazing. And what a perfect place to transition in our interview into the second component of the podcast. And this is what I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So I've got a few rapid fire questions coming your way.
Okay.
First one, what's the most impactful book you've ever read?
So I loved Marianne Williamson's Return to Love. I really liked it for the message of love and compassion. And I carry that message with me.
Beautiful. I love it. And so timely with Marianne's involvement in the U.S. election. Mm-hmm. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
I'd have to say it's keeping those vegetables in my diet. I do enjoy them, thankfully. And so I get creative in terms of buying things that might not be mainstream, and trying different things and cooking them in different ways, so it keeps it interesting.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I would say it has come about as a result of my work in this field. And growing up, I was always thought to be the quiet one. My teacher would write on the report cards, she's very quiet in the class. And because I'm so inspired to get my message out about health and helping people to reduce inflammation, I end up in front of audiences and speaking, and it's really out of my comfort zone, and I get nervous every time, but that's something that is important to me, and so something that I do on a regular basis that I never thought I would.
I love it. What do you do for fun or play? Probably not public speaking.
No.
You're good at it, but after that, you're probably not what you do for fun or play.
I love yoga and Pilates. These are moving my body in that way is something I really enjoy doing. And I love also combining it with spending time with my family. So if we can do both together, that's the most fun that I'm having.
And last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Well, I would say it may be a mix, but I think there for everyone, the everyone's message is unique, and how everyone wants to show up is unique. And for some people, the mechanism for that is going to be best expressed through entrepreneurism. For those people, I would say it's just becomes natural for them.
I love it. Bonnie Flemington, so much amazing knowledge to share. Where can we send people to learn more about what you're up to?
Well, I have a lot of resources on my website at bonniefleming.com. Some great anti-inflammatory and sugar-free guides available there. And I'm also on other social media at Bonnie Flemington on Facebook and on Instagram.
Love it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Megan.
Hey, hey, bosses. If that interview resonated with you, I would love your feedback over on Apple Podcasts. Every single review, every comment you leave makes a huge difference in terms of the Anthropology Podcast being able to reach more people, help more people, and pull more individuals into our vector and vertical of leadership that we are using to try to change the world. Now, if you want to discuss a little bit more about today's topic or other topics that affect us as leaders and go-getters in this world, come on over and hang out with me in the Anthropology Collective. In this Facebook group, we have women from around the world dedicated to living a life of purpose, a healthy life, an intentional life, as we cruise through and engage in our missions here on planet Earth. I would love for you to join us. I'm excited about what you do. Until we meet again next week, go build something amazing.